This is Kenya, the number one opera in the world, according to Foreign. You're watching Foreign Channel, also known as the number one existent fan in the world.
One of the weird things, if people don't know about the history of Mouse Sports as a team, is even though the EPS tournaments were very stable tournaments and there were a lot of prize money, they used to have this weird trend in Mouse Sports where when they didn't win the EPS, they'd be really good internationally. And then when they won EPS, that's when they'd like fail it nationally. But this is the period where this team was good internationally, it won EPS, and then you went on, like, we'll get to some of the other teams, but you and the guys who stayed as the core of the team had an epic run of EPS after this. Like, I think you might have won, like, what, 6 or 7 of them or something. It's like almost every single one you won after that.
Yeah, the German League was done after we found ourselves. It was just done. They had no chance. The problem was that there was just Ajax. For me, the biggest flaw in the German scene is the willingness to win, is the competitiveness. People are satisfied very fast. We had a player, Cash, who joined for Gore, and when he joined Maus, it was like, yeah, I'm done. I achieved everything I wanted in life. When I joined Maus, I was like, I have to win titles, come on. Yeah? And he was just, okay, I am at Maus. This is it. This was something, this is, for me, the biggest thing in the German scene. German players cannot be satisfied. Never, ever. And yeah, the German scene was done, I think. There was no competitiveness. Biggest problem with ethics in my eyes was they just wanted to beat us.
Right.
They did not want to win tournaments. And I was making fun of them. They were my friends, and I was making fun of them. I said, stop looking at my POVs. Maybe watch the whole game, but not only me. Stop trying to counter me. It was ridiculous. I always made fun of them because they were just watching my games, yeah? And they always said, you are paranoid, you are stupid, blah, blah, blah. But when I played against them, I know exactly what were they doing the last weeks. I know it. I fucking know it. Don't lie to me. And like 12, 15 years later, Roman said to me, we were watching your games. We were watching just you. We were with 5 people. Everyone was watching you. And we were analyzing you. No one else. They always had like a grudge against me, or they thought I'm the big guy, we have to take him down. I took it with, I don't know, not pride, I think. I was always making fun, and it was, the problem I had was, it was just something against me. If you want to beat us, try to beat MTW, try to beat Navi, then you will beat us probably. And again, I think it's important for the German scene, or for competitiveness, to have a rivalry, to have someone who competes with you. And at that time, we did not care about the German scene. If we went second, I don't fucking care. I have 20 titles. Whatever. But I care about being the best internationally. And if ATX would have been more like, let's go, let's win international tournaments, because they had all the support they needed to, I think the German scene could be stronger, because I guarantee you, it will motivate the other teams. And they failed at that. I mocked them, but they did not focus on the content, what I was saying. And years later, for my own sake, they just said, yes, we were doing it. And I was feeling it in the game, man. So don't lie.
After you, another famous breakout star in the scene, I referenced him earlier, was obviously Roman, the player guy who briefly played within the Attacks team that won that weird tournament we talked about earlier. But I heard behind the scenes, right, because obviously that was one of the ones where, if you're not from Germany, it's one of those scenarios where it's like, why is this guy never in Mouse Sports? Like, look, he goes to the EPS, he carries this team. He's on this team, they're really good. Like, why is he not on Mouse? And I heard there was some sort of, like, there was some rivalry or some beef there. And so what I heard was, the story was, in 2010, when you made this, like, true super team of German players, I heard that it was like, right, you know what? Fuck it. Maybe we only play one last year. Bring this guy in and we'll just go for it. Is this true? Is there something like this?
Yes, it's pretty much true. Roman and I were always, we had a rough start, I think. He was always a nice guy, but not me. But like 2 years before, we were talking on some events, and we both said, Roman, you are old school. I am old school. We have to play at least once together. We both agreed. We both said, yeah, this will be fireworks. And in 2010, it finally happened. Yes. And we won the first event, I think,
Yes.
the IAM Continental in Cologne. And but I gotta admit, it was difficult to play with him because he is a player who needs a lot of space. He needs to be the star player, I think. And he did very well on Mouseboards, but he did not perform to his fullest. And I think this was maybe something we both had that in our minds, you know. We both knew if you join us, or if we play together with Six or Roman, Carpio, blah blah blah, one two players have to sacrifice. They
Yes.
cannot show their true skills, their true potential. And I think this was something we did not talk about it, but we both felt. And it was good. It was good, but it was not perfect, to be honest. Because the way of playing and thinking was a little bit too different. And again, S6, he is a player who needs space and he needs to play the good positions, the good roles. If he plays like not the perfect role, he was as a player fantastic, but he had his weaknesses. He was not a complete player, which is fine, but he had to play roles where he could not perform to his fullest.
Well, obviously, this tournament, the one you're referring to, was a big deal as well because you made the super team and straight out the gate you won this event, another event in Germany, if people don't know. And this was also one where you had to beat all the top teams to do it. Like, you even beat the team, which they didn't change the name at that time, but it was the Na'Vi squad. It was the one that dominated the year. So this is another like epic tournament to win, right?
It was a big event because, 5 6 weeks before, they were talking about replacing me. I did not perform well the last months of the year, and I had some personal stuff to do with. I did not focus on the game, but my performance on lands were always good. Were always good. The problem for me was in the end of my career in the last years, I did not care about online performance. It was all LAN, all LAN. And you can watch the stats, I don't know, the games. I was a fucking beast. And I did not really understand it, but because I was still a core player, a key player of the team. But I had to fight for my spot. And I know that pretty much Gob was against me, Tixer was against me. The only one who fought for me for his life was Six. He fought for me. He said, here's the guy we need, give him another chance, blah 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 blah. And I got the chance, and this was the result, you know. And the event itself was so fucking intense. The game against Na'Vi was so intense. And at that time, people were not really giving them respect, I think. They thought, yeah, it's just some Russian guys, blah blah blah. Bro, they were so good on this event. I think we did not won. I think when we play this game again 10 times, we will lose 8 times, something like
Oh, it was
this.
an epic match, yeah.
They were so good. I think we clutched some rounds where we should not win the rounds. It was so close. It was a little bit undeserved, but I knew then, fuck, they are a problem. This will be hard in the next matches because if you are a great team, the loser team have to make changes against you, and if they are smart, the changes will hit you hard, you know. And the final itself against Fnatic, I think they had Zed in their team. It was, I think, one of the first events
Yes.
from him. I expected a lot from the team because Zed was, in my eyes, the Swedish version of me. And as you can think, I thought a lot about him. They probably did not use him right, I think. But against Fnatic, I think it was at least one map was close,
Oh, it was a very close
but
final, yeah.
they're very close.
I think you even won like 16-14 on the last map with Toscan. I think it was like super
Okay.
close like that, yeah.
The game felt like we have to win it. This was my feeling of the game. Against Na'Vi, it was the opposite. but I remember it was so intense. I don't remember so much about the games, but the game against Navi was so intense. We were sitting like this.
Yes, on opposite sides. For, yeah. Well, looking at each other even, right?
Yeah, and they were very, very loud, very, very intense. And there are not a lot of teams like this. Normally, it's the great teams who are like this. Fnatic were loud as well. And yeah, it was one of the most intense events I were in. Winning that, I had to make some deals. Like for Roman, I gave him something.
Okay.
I gave him something very good. He enjoyed it very much. But it worked. And it felt good because for me, I knew you have to have me in this team. You will not win shit without me. And the first event, we won it. We won it.
As you mentioned earlier, by the way, because you referenced it from the few years earlier, the other thing about this year was, so just like in 2008, MTW was the number one team. This year, Na'Vi obviously was the number one team. They won the majors. They broke all the prize money. But a lot of people might not know. They might think back and go, well, they always had a rivalry with MTW and obviously Fnatic won events. Your team, every time you played them, always it was some of the closest games ever. This is one of the best matchups. Obviously, sadly, cut short because of the fact that Six obviously passed away. But the few times you met them, I think two or three times, every time it was a banger game, right?
Yeah, they were developing so fast. They were at a very, very high level, and they still went a little bit further. I think it was the IEM grand event, I think, where we lost on the stage against them. And
yep. Another super close game.
This was probably the the defeat which hurt me the most, I think. It was so close. It was right to take it, but they fought so hard against us. And I know we both teams knew the winner of this match will win this event. It was clear as... Everyone knew it. It was so clear. And we lost the finals right there. This was why it felt so hard, I think. Great, great team. Fucking fantastic players. And again, they played as a team. They played smart, but they still had skill, so much skill, like Edward. They had, like Markelov, like fucking Starix. All world-class players. They had no bad player, I think. They had no bad players, and as a team, they were so good. Fucking great matches against them, and every time so intense. What I loved about the game in the end of the years was people or the top teams understood how to play the game perfectly. So no one was making mistakes. Every single mini mistake was punished like crazy. And this is like high level play. This is what I like to do, what I enjoyed the most. Every step you do counts. Every mini decision is important. Do you go one step to the left or right? It was, everything was important against them, and this was one of the best times to play, I think, because the game was people understood the game. So now it's you can throw out all the stuff. Now you have to play a little bit freestyle. You have to adjust on the fly every single round. It was great.
Because that's why, when obviously the tragedy happened with Six, there was like a double level. People didn't understand it was bad. And obviously, your friend died, and it was a really tragic circumstance of how it happened. And at the same time, the team was maybe looking like the best mouse sports team ever. Like, everyone would love to know what would happen in the rest of this year, what would happen the next years. But not only did he sadly have to leave the game, this basically broke mouse, this version of it, forever, right? After that, it was people came back every now and then or playing with other teams. But I mean, I even heard somebody wanted to retire even, right?
Yes. I mean, it was just tough. We were young, and I don't know. I did not think about we can win this and that with them. I did not think about that. But yeah, we were a good team. I don't know. It was just stupid that he died. He should not have died. This is the only thing I think about when I think about him. how he died and what we could have done, and we tried, and I don't know. It was again destiny, probably. I was saying to him, if you keep going like this, you will die. Another friend of mine said exactly the same thing to him. Genghis said the same thing to him, Jungle.
In the sense of like he was just a crazy guy and he was just a risk taker or something.
He did not care about his life too much. He was trying to get big, and he was taking some stuff, and that was not good
Right.
for him. This is when I said, bro, your health is important. He had like one time something with his teeth, and if he would have gone one day later to the doctor, he said to him, you would have died, bro.
Oh, right. It
And
was
he
like
did.
an abscess or something that was just poisonous or something like that, I'm guessing, right?
Exactly, ex
Right.
exactly the poison stuff. And Django, when he bought his car, the car which he had the accident with, told him, if you have an ex accident, you will die.
Yeah, because if people don't know, like I didn't want to bring this up, but you bring it up, so I'll tell the detail. If people don't know, the other tragic thing about what happened is it wasn't just a car crash. He had like a convertible, right? He had one with like no roof or something, right?
That was a very low car, and it
Right.
slipped right through the thing there at the roadside.
Right, I see.
So it was, I don't know, it's all played in.
Yeah,
People were
exactly.
seeing it, were seeing it that you are going into the wrong direction, and he missed it, his flight, because I don't know, he was too late. And it was in Frankfurt, it was in fucking Frankfurt. We know everyone in Frankfurt. He could have just gone to some friend of his, of mine, of Gob's. I don't know, I don't care. But he wanted to play LOL, He wanted to drive home, play a LOL, don't sleep, and then go again. And it is so fucking unlucky the way he died. It was just stupid. People need to think about being alive, man, and don't be too retarded sometimes. Just, it really affected so many people, his death. I was like, at that time, yeah, I'm a strong guy, I don't care about who dies and stuff. And after 1 month, I was realizing, you are not leaving your house, you moron. I did not I could I couldn't gone to his funeral. I was just so down. I was just so down. I did not cry for, I don't know, 2 3 months, till my friend said, come to us, we will talk about him, we will respect him, we will drink on him. And then this was the first time I finally cried, and I could start to really process the shit which went through. I know about other people who were really, really fucking crushed by his death. I don't know. I really, really wanted to have some more years with him as a friend. Of course, playing with him was great. It was fun. I trusted him so much. He was such a nice person. He was so loyal. You don't meet people like him that often in your life, who fight for you, who are willing to sacrifice stuff for you. And after his death, his mom visited me. She talked a little bit about his upbringing. It was not a fun life. It was not fucking easy. And when he finally had his place in somewhere, he's gone. And I know he would have been a fucking crazy rich guy, crazy successful in CS:GO, in Valorant. I don't care. He would be one of the great big players, like a Forest, like a Getright in CS:GO. I'm 100% sure he was younger than these guys. His career would have gone probably longer. He was the number one in Germany. Everyone wanted to make a team around him. The doors were open, but yeah, sometimes life takes great people away. Yeah, it's the part of my career which I. Which hurts the most. Yeah.
Like
I
I
don't know.
say, after this, basically, obviously everything was never the same. So, like, even though you played a bit more, you were in attacks, etc., it wasn't like the same thing, right? You weren't going like 100% and trying to be number one and all that stuff, right?
No, I still enjoyed the game. I wanted to be competitive, but I know like a team needs a Capio to win. I knew a team needs six to win tournaments, so winning tournaments was pretty much out of my sight, I think. I did not rationalize that in my head, but I felt it, I think. But yeah, I still wanted to be good and stuff, but being the best in the world was gone.
In CSGO, if people don't know, there was a period where you came back. It was like, what, like 6, 7 years ago now or something. And you were like coaching Mouse and coaching Big a little bit. Like, what was the idea there? Like, was it something you actually wanted to make a full-time career? Did they not give you enough time? What would you explain that scenario as?
I was 1 month in Mouse Sports. I don't know. In Mouse Sports, after 1 week, they wanted to kick out Gob. It felt like it was my fault, but I did not say shit about it. And when they tried to kick him, I said, "Guys, take a day, take a night off, think really, really think about it, and then we talk to him tomorrow because you're just hot-headed and your opinion doesn't mean shit, pretty much. Take one night." But in the end, they decided to get rid of Gob, the players. I was new in my eyes, or in my opinion, my word is not that big because I'm fucking new. And the way we trained before the major, I asked, "Can the coach call? Can he call all the time?" They said yes. Then we practiced with me, I GLing in the game. And for me, it was easy because I'm not playing. I see everything. I know everything. It went well. And at the event, it was the first time that after weeks, the players had to call, and I did not have a voice at all. So this thing was just a failure from the start. The information I had was wrong, and in the end, they decided to go without me. And I was like, I never said I wanted to join as well. I wanted just to help out, nothing more. So the gig in Mouse Sports was very short-lived, and it was not like I wanted to stay there. In Big, it was a different story. They had two coaches there, me and another one, and it was just not working. I don't want to go too much into the details, but it's hard to coach when you know two players have to go. They just have to go. There's no between. And the working relationship with Kakafu was just horrible. It was so bad. I came in and I said, "We have to work together. You're not my opponent." Blah blah blah. I'm man enough to be like this. He was not. He was lying about money. I don't care about money. I care about your word. Stuff like this. They did not pay me for September till December. The first salary I had was in January, which was the last. So the way they treated me, it was very, very strange. It was then in the end about money again. Money I earned. Money I deserved. I don't know, man. After that, I was gone. I did not want to come back into esport. People who I helped to getting successful, who worked with me for years and years and years, were people who I went through fire with. In my eyes, treated me badly. Of course, I have some faults too. Of course, but the way they treated me, I did not deserve this. I should not have fought months and months for my money. Not months, weeks. This is not how you treat me, especially when you don't pay me 3 months or 4 months. September, October, November, December, 4 months. This is not okay. This was like a wake-up call, like you cannot trust anyone in the scene. Again, Big was fighting as well for money. They said, I understand it a little bit. I did not bring what they expected me to bring. In my eyes, it was not workable for me. It was just not workable. And a lot of the things I wanted to change, they changed later on when I was gone. And at least they made the right decision after.
Let me ask you about...
CSGO coaching was horrible.
Sure. Let me ask you about a couple of the players from these teams then, because obviously you got to be around some players from the modern generation. So in Mouse Sports, people will know that was the breakout team of Nico, who's gone on to be one of the great players, all the top placings and all that. Who was this guy at the time? This is quite young in his career, right?
Yeah, he was 17 or 18 when I met him. 18, 19 maybe. The greatest talent I ever seen in my life, honestly. Like, holy fucking shit. In the major, he had a scene on Mirage where we were T or CT. He was in the middle thing and was watching, I think it's, I don't know the sites anymore. I think it's a site.
Yes.
And fuck, man, he was, he had one guy in front of him, one left stairs, one right. It was like bam, bam, bam. And I am watching his hand. I'm watching the monitor. I'm seeing it both. And bam, bam, bam. What the fuck? This is cheat. This must be cheat, etc. But I'm seeing it with my own eyes. It was not reaction. He was just seeing stuff happening. He know where they are coming, etc. You cannot be better than this. I loved his competitiveness. He was fucking animal. He wanted to win like crazy, which was very, very good, and which is a huge weakness of him. He wants to do it on his own to a lot of the times. He called not to win the round, he called for him to win the round a lot of the times. Again, in my philosophy, don't rely on one player. Just don't do it. You have to win as a team. If you win because one player is great, this is not consistent. You cannot reproduce it so often. This is just not good. You will fail with it. And but at least the intention is right. He did not want to win because he is a great guy. He wanted to win for his team, at least. So his intentions, in my eyes, were always pure. And I really, really respected him as a player. Outstanding skills. He has it all. He has not only raw skills. His instincts are so crazy, so crazy. An animal. I did not watch CS:GO for a long time, so I'm not sure how he plays now. I just know he's in G2 or something, right? I'm not sure how successful he is, but as a player, when he was 18, I knew right at the moment, like, holy shit, this is something very, very special. I saw a lot of players in my career. This guy is crazier than Neo. And Neo was like, for me, you cannot get higher than Neo. You just can't, but you can.
What about, obviously, when you're in big, Tabson is the name that a lot of people will know. I mean, a lot of people say he was the great German player of, like, CSGO, etc. Who was this guy?
Fucking fantastic person. I know when we were discussing what I did wrong or something as a coach, he said, you did not coach me. And I said, yes, it was a conscious decision by me. I'm not wanna influence your game at all. How you play is how I want you to play. He had skills. He had team play. He has the smartness. Now he is even calling in big, and I think he's calling pretty well even. He was fucking great with rifles. He was very good with AWP. Very, very, very good player. For me, a world-class player. I saw 1-2 weeks ago, I don't know, a question in Reddit. Why is Tubson wasting his best years or something? Bro, he is making a legacy here in Germany. He is trying to fight for the German scene. He wants to win with a German team. This is something old school players. I know Tubson from 1.6. It's not like he's a newcomer. He was always playing, always trying, always playing 5v5s, gathers, this, that. Not only pregs or something, he enjoys the game, he enjoys the competitiveness, and I really respect him as a player. Fantastic player, reliable, very loyal person, as you can see, right? I'm sure he can play pretty much wherever he wants, or at some point. This was a conscious decision against money, against titles, against more success, for winning with his people. And you gotta respect that. If you don't respect that, you're an asshole. I don't care.
One player that actually was in both teams, and he was a bit more of, these players are all great players that we're talking about now, but the player I want to ask about was one that was, in English you'd say it was sort of the problem child of the German team. It was obviously Nex, because the problem is, this is the guy where I always thought he was going to become the next great German player. Looked like he had the skills, but something stopped him getting to that top level, you know. What would you say it is?
I mean, you described it very well. He had games where you thought, you cannot be better than this. You cannot aim better than this. You cannot handle this situation better than this. And then, like, two rounds later, you think, is this his first time playing this game, this map? What the fuck is going on? What is this decision making? Why is he doing that? This does not make sense. In any case, it does not make sense to do this. It's just bad. And you could see that. I mean, it sounds mean, maybe, but he was a weak player. He was changing his game. He was too passive sometimes in the game. And then you know, oh, okay, here's again the weakness, no? This was something which was not good. I think I try to talk with him sometimes, but I think he's a very smart person who overthinks stuff and who is very, very critical of himself. Very critical. And if you, in a game, make the mistake in overthinking, your answer will always be passive, because this can happen, this can happen. So in the end of the day, you are doing nothing. You're making no decision at all. And this was something I saw a lot in this game. As a person, he was quiet, he was calm, he was respectful. You could see there is something here, not only air. So I think he was overthinking too much. And he never had the belief of himself being a great player. He always said, I'm shit. I never in my life said, I'm a shit player. Never in my life, even when I was a shit player, you know. Don't do that shit. Don't bring yourself down too much. Be critical of yourself, but don't bring yourself down.
Okay, what about, obviously, right now you're doing some coaching in Valorant, right? How did you end up in Valorant? What has it been like compared to CS? Obviously, like, I don't think it's a big deal, but obviously people in the modern day, they try and make it sound like religion, like you've just abandoned the faith, you've gone to the, you're a heretic, you're in the other ones, you know. People take it to the extreme. So what's, is this, can you still sort of get some of the vibe of CS in Valorant?
Absolutely. You got to understand, I played Counter-Strike till 1999. Yeah. Or 2000, it's a long time. And being competitive in another game just is something nice. How I came in, the game came out, I tried to get the beta key. I got the beta key, I played when GOP was streaming. People were seeing me with GOP. And this is how my name came back, I think. And some guys were asking me, we're trying a project. Do you want to coach maybe? And I thought, I like coaching. I never had the chance to coach my style the way I wanted to do. And for me, it was like, if you coach ever again, it's just only on your terms. Nothing else. No one can say anything how you want to do it. You have your own philosophy. It takes time. Again, I want the perfect style of game. I want my players to be individuals. I want my players to make their own decisions, not like bots. We're doing this and on time this, we're doing that. I hate this. This is countable. This is so easy to counter. So easy to be confused in the game. And this was one big thing for me. The project went 3 months, then my money was gone. We had in this team pretty famous players even. Like Destrian is a great player, Loudly is a great player. So we had some good players. How I ended up in CGN was the guys talked to me and they said, can you help us out just a little bit, blah, blah, blah. And I did it for one year, I think, without getting money. I just did it for passion. And I had time to get into coaching again, to try my philosophy, to getting a better coach, to be better. And now I'm full time. So this is, I did not think I will come back to the scene to e-sport after what happened, but these are people I trust, and I want to work for people who I can trust. I want to make people happy who I love, who I like. So this is why I came back to coaching and to e-sport pretty much. It's just because of the people, and I love the competition. I just love it. I know if I don't compete in my life, I will go into depression, you know.
Right.
I have to do it for myself. When it's not esport, I have to find something else. I have to compete. It's just my nature.
People will be able to guess from the way you spoke about Tabson there and the fact that he has given up all these opportunities to go elsewhere and try and win with a German team and bring a German team to the top again. And obviously in CSGO, German teams have been nowhere close to what they were in the era we were talking about when you were the best. Like there's been times where maybe they were good and they were like getting close to the level they might have won a championship, but it's never been like the Danish teams and the Swedish teams and the French teams, which have got all the majors and the championships and the eras. So I have a question for you like that, which is, do you have a theory as to what's gone wrong in CSGO for the German scene? Like, why is the German scene not the kind of powerhouse it once was in terms of like you could have a mouse bots or an attacks that could win a big tournament?
We have the structure. We have it way more easier than a lot of other countries, to be honest. You can play full time without getting money, you know, and you still can make a living here in Germany, to be honest. Again, for me, it's a mentality thing. When I was in Mousebots, what I saw there, I did not like. They fought for money, for the next contracts and stuff, and it was all about money, 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 getting the kind of money where you can live good here. And again, people are satisfied so fast. You're going to one or two majors, you're getting a lot of money, you're getting your salary. People are okay with it. This is fine. I never thought about money. I always thought about titles, titles, titles. How can I win a title? Then the money, then the fame, then all the other stuff should come with it normally. And I think they did not think like this. They thought like this. Thought like this, you know. And mentality-wise, again, the Germans love stability, I think. They are not risk takers a lot of times. I don't know when you I don't know when you speak with other people from other countries, when they get real money, then they can change lives, not only for themselves but for their family, for friends, etc. And I think this is something which is missing here as well, getting really successful, getting really rich and helping people, because here people are still living fine, even though they don't have too much money. They're living in a flat, in a house. They're getting their food. They do not have to fight, I think, too much. So people are satisfied here very fast.
What about, you said earlier an interesting detail there, because obviously you have a background ethnically where it's not from Germany. You said originally you always felt like you were treated like a foreigner, you were an outsider. Has it been important for you that, like, if we talk about German counts, like, you can't say it without mentioning Capio. As you said, you were in a lot of the great teams. You would be considered one of the heroes of the German Counter-Strike, right? Is that important to you?
Yeah, of course. It's for me, when I came here, I faced racism. You know, I think it's everywhere the same shit. It's not like Germany is racist. Every single country in the world is racist, in my eyes. When I went to China and there was a black man, the Chinese were laughing at him like this. Ah, look, black man. It's like, eh, come on. But yeah, it was important for me to face this and to be like, yeah, maybe you are small-minded, but the truth is there is no, he is German, he is German. We all German, we're living here, and I see myself as a German Counter-Strike player, 100%. I learned my game from Germans. I played here in Germany, so it was important for me to be like, yeah, hate can bring you down, or in this case, racism. But come on, this is just stupid. It's from stupid people. If you give stupid people the power to bring you down, then you are just worthless, bro. Come on. And people, when I was young, expected me to react physically on this shit, And this was something like, I will not give you what you want. I will destroy you with my brain. I will destroy you with my words. I will argument you down. You cannot, I will not give you the satisfaction of hitting you or something. This was very important for me. People were thinking black hats are physical, are stupid, blah, blah, blah. And I did not enjoy it. And it's for me personally, it was just important that I get seen as a German player and I help the German scene. It's not like they hate change me or something. Fuck it.
At the end of this interview, do you have like a final message for people? Do you have someone you want to thank or say hello to?
Not really, I think. I to the younger players, to all the players out there, not only in life, in a lot of things, don't fucking complain. If you can control something, take control, enjoy the challenges which I had I'm ahead of you. I'm gonna be honest, after my career, I went into a slump. I was in depression. I did not have something which I wanted to work for, fight for. So follow your passion. If you don't have a passion, give yourself time and find something you love and go for it. Don't be like, yeah, I cannot do that. I cannot do that. I cannot do that. Do what you want to do. Do what you love to do, and the money will come eventually. And don't fucking complain ever. If you have control over something, take the control, enjoy that you have control, and don't complain. This is the most important part for every single player. If you lost a round and you want to, and the first thing you have in your head, looking out, who had the mistake, who was the guy who lost the round, look at yourself first. Always look at yourself first. What the fuck could have you done to win the round?
Thank you, Sean.
Danke sehr.
This video was kindly supported by Ahmed Haju, Hades Good, Matt Pugnacio Rakula, Animosity, ButtPounder420, Jensen Gore, Kovacevic, Ord, Tobias Bernasconi, Tosh, Toucan, and as always, special thanks goes out to my main man, Jerky's Minion. Would you like to suggest a topic or a guest for my upcoming content? Maybe you want to ask a question in my monthly AMA. Would you like teasers to find out who the guests are for upcoming interviews and shows? Maybe you want to take part in one of those lengthy esports discussions with me that can go all over the place. Well, if so, put your money where your mouth is and join the Skrilluminati today, where? In the description box below, there's a Patreon link.